Jamie, why don't you come up? For those of you who don't know Jamie, I imagine most people look out. Most faces seem familiar, don't they?
Yes.
Does this face seem familiar? Slightly more aging than you, yeah, maybe? I can't talk, actually. Jamie, most people know you, but there's a portion maybe don't or maybe need reminding. You grew up here. How many years ago?
28 years ago, I'm 28 years old. For a minute, I struggled to answer that question, so that's not a good start. So
28 years ago, you were in these pews, and now you're coming back. In between, you've got married.
Yeah.
Family. Do you want to tell us a little bit about family background?
So, I'm married to Lydia. I think there's going to be a picture coming up on the screen. That's me and Lydia and our daughter, Aria. I think my daughter might have made herself known during communion. So, you know, that's a way to start, isn't it? She's 18 months old.
Great. I didn't notice, so that's good. Don't want to trample too much on what you're going to say, but very briefly, kind of, where are you based, and what's your aim in what you do?
Yeah, so we're based in East Finchley in North London, working with the Eden Network, and Eden works on council estates across the country to work alongside the church to reach out to people in the community. So we're living on an estate in North London and working with the church there to reach out to people.
Great. And you obviously, 7 years ago, left. Explain a little bit about why Eden? What was it that captured your attention and made you want to leave kind of the leafy suburbs of Surrey and go in living in East Finchley, which is a lot harder place to live? What was the kind of heart behind it that helped you make that decision?
Yeah, so I kind of really had a kind of transformation when I was 18 years old, where although I already believed in God through coming to this church, I just kind of got to a point where I really committed my life to God. And from that moment on, I just had a real heart for sharing the gospel. And I'm someone that struggles to sit still for very long anyway, but I really struggle to sit still in church. And I'd often find that if I'm sitting in church or sitting somewhere with lots of Christians, I can't help but sit there and think about all those that don't know Christ yet and just really want to share with them. So it's partly that. I think also just my heart for people that are in really difficult situations and are really far from God. And also increasingly over the years, just as I get to know the Bible more, just seeing God's heart for the poor and for the oppressed and for the disadvantaged. You just see it throughout Scripture, from some of the laws in the Old Testament right through to the early church. So that's kind of keeping me passionate as well.
Great. We're really looking forward to hearing what you've got to share. I'm going to pray for you quickly. Can people hear Jamie? Is that right? Good. Excellent. So let's pray, and then I hand over. Father God, we do thank you for the work you've done in Jamie's life over these many years. Thank you for his willingness, as he's just shared his heart those years ago, to have that aspect of needing to care, needing to seek out those who maybe have had different upbringings, hard upbringings. I do thank you for that. Thank you for what he's been able to be a part of in the Eden. We pray that you would give us ears to hear, receptive minds to capture what Jamie's about to share. Please be with him as he speaks. Please bless us for this time, we pray. In your name. Amen. Thank you.
Yeah, it's lovely to see so many familiar faces, so many friendly faces. As we were looking at that video earlier, I just kind of thought, it's funny when you get the soundtrack in the background. And I just wanted to let you all know that music doesn't follow us around, unfortunately, on the estate. We don't have kind of the air of grace around us the whole time, unfortunately. That doesn't always happen, but those videos are great. Those kind of promo videos for showing the really good stories, you know, the breakthroughs and the people that have come to faith and have made it. But they're not so good at showing the kind of the heartaches and the letdowns and the failures and the tears. And you know, I don't think there's ever really going to be a promo video that says, "Here's this guy that was going to church and he kind of changed his life and he started going to discipleship groups and started inviting all his friends to everything, but now he's just kind of packed it all in and he's just sitting at home playing video games and smoking weed." It wouldn't really make a very good promo video, I don't think. And so really, I guess, what I wanted to do today is I want to use this evening to tell you the good stories, to encourage you, and to tell you about what Eden is doing, but actually to also be real with you as well and tell you about the difficult parts and the heartaches and the struggles, because it is really difficult living on a council estate and trying to reach people there. But first of all, let me tell you a little bit more about what Eden is, because I'm aware that not everyone will know exactly what Eden is and what Eden does. So Eden focuses on reaching the most deprived communities in the UK. So the idea is that the most effective way of reaching people living in council estates is that rather than kind of think we can go there and we can run groups and we can do community events and we can organise kind of litter picks and things like that, but then we can go home and back out of the estate. The idea is that you move into the area, that you live alongside the people that you want to reach out to. And so someone that joins an Eden team member, is a volunteer who moves onto a council estate to share their lives and the gospel with the people in that community. And they go on living their life as normal. They're just a volunteer. So whatever their career is, whatever their job is, they carry on doing that. But they're living on the estate, they're living among people, and they're working with the local church to reach out to people. That's the kind of idea. So I first joined Eden as a team member 7 years ago, as one of those volunteers, by moving to an estate in Ladbroke Grove in West London. And we started to connect with a bunch of youth who are up on the screen, some of them. And over the first few years, we really got to know these guys really well, just through running a youth club and taking them to various events and things. And eventually what we did is all these guys were unchurched, meaning, you know, they had no background or experience of church. They never went to church. They didn't really know much about God or about Christ. Some of them are from different faith backgrounds. And it got to a point with these guys where we would meet with them on Sundays for lunch, and we do this kind of prayer lunch with them, where it just sounds a bit simple, but what we do is we go around the room and get them to say one good thing about the week that they want prayer for, and one bad thing that happened in the week that they want prayer for. And sometimes it would work really well. Someone would say, oh, you know, my good thing is that I had a really great time with my friends on Saturday, but my bad thing is that I shouted at the teacher and got kicked out of my lesson. And then what we do is rather than saying, we're going to pray for you, we get them to pray for each other so they get used to the idea that they can pray. They don't need to go to a church to pray. They don't need to go to a priest to pray. They can just do it themselves. And sometimes it wouldn't work so well. So we had a situation once where I'm going to have to change the language a little bit so I can actually say it in church. But one of the young people said, I went to a party on Saturday night and I got with a girl. That's my good news. My bad news is that my girlfriend found out. And so at which point we're like, okay, maybe we'll pray for this one, just you respect women, really. So it was sometimes quite difficult, but actually these guys really started to open up. And it got to a point where some of them started to come to faith, started to get baptized, and we really started to kind of disciple them. What we really struggled with is that as these guys came to faith, the kind of expectation was that we would get them eventually to start coming to our Sunday church gathering. And the more and more they started to come to faith, the more and more they started to understand God, it just didn't seem to match up, because we had this thing on a Sunday that was just so different, so foreign to their lives, and it just didn't really seem like it was the natural progression for them to eventually go to this thing on a Sunday, because it really kind of started to make me question what is church, because we do this thing on a Sunday where we meet up and we sing some songs and we pray together, and we listen to someone talk, and then we have some tea and coffee, and we go home. And actually, it didn't seem like it was the right thing for these guys. And as I was kind of really struggling with that, I also got to a point where I started to really burn out, because I was part of a really small team, and I didn't have many people around me to support me. I was in a really small church. I was getting really frustrated with church. And I got to a point where I've just found I didn't really want to go to church on Sunday anymore. I kind of stopped going at times, didn't go very often. And it wasn't a reflection of what the church was like. The church was great, but actually I was just really struggling. I was struggling with the fact that it didn't feel like, it felt to me like we had to just do this on a Sunday because that's what everyone else does and that's what we should do, rather than what actually feels like is right for the community. And I started looking at the New Testament, the early church, and just started looking at the way in which they met and thought it doesn't seem to quite match up. And recently I came across an extract of a book which actually really kind of helped to summarise how I felt at the time. And it's a book called Francis Chan. It's called Letters to the Church. And I haven't actually read this book, so I can't recommend it. It might be rubbish. But I just read this little extract of the book. And Francis Chan says, imagine Peter and Paul from the early church speaking about church like we do today. So it goes like this. Peter says to Paul, how was church on Sunday? And Paul says, it was great. The worship was really good, and they have great kids' work. And he says, that sounds amazing. Can I come along to your church next Sunday? Actually, I'm not really around this Sunday. Maybe the week after when I'm a bit more free. And he says, this sounds ridiculous to think of Peter and Paul speaking like this, because for them, church was their life. It was everything that they did. As Chris was saying earlier, you know, people met and had these meals together. It wasn't just a case of meeting once a week. And he then goes on to talk about a guy that was at his church who used to be part of a gang. And basically this guy ended up going to prison, and he came to faith while he was in prison. And he got to a point when he realised, I've got to leave this gang that I'm a part of because, you know, I've come to faith and stuff. And actually it was really difficult for him to leave because the gang was his life. It was everything that he'd been a part of, everything that he knew. It took over everything. And it would sound a bit weird, wouldn't it, if someone said, let's go to gang. You wouldn't say that, but you would say, let's go to church. And so, you know, he makes this point that actually it really has changed a lot since the early church. And in Ladbroke Grove, you know, it felt like we needed to get them into that thing that he describes as church, that Sunday thing, when actually what we needed to do is create more of that family with the guys that we were reaching. And so it turns the way that I viewed church around. I viewed it rather as thinking we need to do this particular thing. I thought actually we need to find ways where we can create a community of believers with these guys. We need to find ways where we can create a family, where we can interact with each other and that kind of thing. And it doesn't mean, I'm not saying that it means that the way we're doing church is wrong. But actually, when we meet people that are out of the norm and people that really struggle, it's how do we make it accessible to them? So after 5 years of being in Ladbroke Grove, I moved over to East Finchley, where I am now, with Lydia and Aria, and I moved over as a team leader. And basically, we're part of an estate called the Strawberry Vale Estate, which was planted... Strawberry Vale Estate, and then Church of Five, which is up on the screen. That was planted there 8 years ago. And we meet at 5 o'clock on Sundays, that's why we're called Church at Five. And we meet in quite a kind of informal way. We try and make it really accessible to people on the estate. We kind of say, come as you are. Don't try and feel like you have to come as anything else, but don't try and feel like you have to act differently. Just come exactly as you are. And it's quite messy, it's quite chaotic. And we do have kids and youth work, but under five stay in the hall with us. So they're at the back kind of playing with their kids. And it's just a bit chaotic. And the other day I was doing a talk there, and it'd been a bit, because we do things in quite a kind of informal way, we have tables and chairs around, it's a bit more like a cafe, then sometimes there is a little bit of chit-chatter as you're trying to speak, and that's quite difficult. But as I, you know, things started to really die down and people started to really listen at the point where I was hoping they would, where I was really kind of trying to get to the point where I'd really home in on the message. And just as I got to the point where I was saying that Jesus rose again so that we can have new life, a four-year-old boy decided to go around using his hand as a gun, going bang, 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 and shooting all the people in the church. So, the point didn't really go down too well, and it was quite difficult. But actually, in running the church in this way, it kind of makes it really easy for people to come in. It makes it really easy for people just to turn up on a Sunday, because it's really informal. The other thing I see up there is Hope of London. That's the charity that our church leaders set up that's on the estate. And basically, Hope of London runs all the groups that happen during the week that have no Christian content. So we do kind of after-school groups, youth groups, coffee morning, and a football group. And the idea is that it's all run by us, but it's run without any expectation of kind of putting in a God slot or talking about God or anything. And that makes it really, really accessible to people as well. And so my role includes the Eden East Finchley team, as you can see up there, but it also includes Church at Five and Hope North London as well. And one of the things that's really important to us is the way in which we invite people and make it inclusive to them. And often with church, the way that people are made to feel is that the process for them becoming part of the church, if we could have the next slide please, Neil, is that first of all, they behave, and then they believe, and then they belong. So the first way is behave. That means you change the way you live. You know, you stop living the way you are, you stop sinning so much, whatever it is, and then you believe, then you come to faith. And once you believe and you've been baptized, then you can really be part of the family. Then you really come into it. But actually, the way that a lot of churches are looking at it now is switching it around from behave, believe, belong, to belong, believe, become. And so that's the idea that you start off in a place where you're included, when you're invited to belong and to be part of family. In the same way that God loves us unconditionally, it's being unconditional. It's inviting people to come just as they are. And then when they do come to faith, that's the next step. Then eventually, through the work of the Holy Spirit, they become more of who God's created them to be. And we like to add another one onto the list beforehand. We put bless. So the idea is that, first of all, we really want to bless the community. We want to do things to meet people's needs. We run the groups and stuff to really just bless the community without expecting anything back. But we also do it in an inclusive way that invites them to belong. And hopefully when people come to believe, we help them to become more of who God's created them to be and to become more spiritually mature. And actually there's a great story that really kind of describes actually how that process works. So there's a woman called Sam on the estate, and she started coming to our coffee morning. And that's a coffee morning which is run by Hope North London. There's no Christian content. And she really started to get to know some of us in the team, and just came along to that kind of thing. And then she started going to a women's group, which is kind of, you know, it talks a little bit about God, but it's very laid back, very inclusive. And she started coming to that. And then she started coming to church at 5 on a Sunday. And the thing about Sam that we discovered is every time she came to church on a Sunday, she was drunk. And we came to know that she was addicted to drinking alcohol. And over the time that we'd known her, she'd be kind of getting worse. And so she'd come in every Sunday and usually be quite drunk, quite disruptive. We'd normally get someone alongside her just to kind of help her and make sure she's safe and everything. And it got to a point where she actually, we kind of meet in a hall, so it's not really a stage like this. We're more kind of sitting around together. And she stood up and she said, I really wanted to just share something with you guys because I feel like I'm really accepted here. And actually, I have a problem with an alcohol addiction, which, you know, we all knew that. It was really obvious. But she shared that, and she said, I feel really accepted here, and I've come to really want God in my life. And I just wanted to stand up and say that I want to get rid of my alcohol addiction, and I want you guys to help me. And Sam, right now, as we speak, this week she's just been transferred from a detox center to a Christian rehab center. And while one of our team was driving her there, she had her mum in the car, and she started playing all these worship songs on the CD player and saying, you know, Mum, you've got to listen to this song about God. It's amazing. It really describes how God's like this. And so, you know, she's in this rehab center now. Who knows what happens next? Who knows if she'll completely come to faith and end up being one of those promo video stories, or whether, you know, whether it'll be something where actually we're really sad to see that it hasn't worked out for her. But it's a great example of how actually by being inclusive and blessing her first and letting her belong as part of the family, she really started to kind of become part of the family and come to faith as well. But it's not just Strawberry Vale that we're looking at. We're actually also starting to work on an estate across the road from us called the Grange Estate. And that's kind of where our focus is as well. So we've got the Strawberry Vale Estate where the church was planted 8 years ago, and the Grange Estate. And on the Grange, we're pretty much starting from scratch because there's not really anything there other than flats. There's no playground for children. There's no activities or groups that happen for the estate. East Finchley, as an area, is actually quite nice. It's in Barnet. It's quite a nice area. So generally, most of the kind of groups that happen in the wider community aren't really accessible to guys from estates because either it costs money that they can't afford, or it's just a different group, really, that they don't really mix with. And so we want to take the same values that we've learned on Strawberry Vale and take them over to the Grange as well. So we want to start off by just blessing people, and that's what we've been doing for the last 2 years, is running events and starting to meet people and know people and just find ways of meeting their needs. And it's getting to the point now where we're really starting to get to that point where we're trying to create the family. I think it's mainly just about trying to provide a place for them to belong and eventually kind of try and see people come to faith as well. But the main thing is we're reaching a mainly unchurched state. We're reaching a lot of people that haven't come to faith or have other faiths. And really what we want to do is we want to create something that we can call church there. And so by doing that, as I was saying earlier, we don't want to just come and say this is the model of church that we want to kind of put on this estate. We want to grow church on the estate, let it be something organic that grows from relationships with people, that grows from the community that we're part of. We want to create more of what Francis Chang described as the gang, rather than this kind of meeting on a Sunday. And that's what we're kind of going in there with the idea of. And I'm not saying that's the way the church should be everywhere. I'm not saying that we're going to go and get it right and everyone else has got it wrong. Actually, we're probably going to get it wrong more than most churches because we're trying to do something new. And we're just people that are going to make lots of mistakes. And it's never really going to be perfect because it's a group of people. But we hope that eventually it will be a church that is for the Grange. It will be a church that is for the people there, that is accessible to them and that reaches out to them. And so just to let you know where we are currently with that, we're kind of, in June, we're going to be starting a couple of kids and youth groups for the first time. We're going to be starting one that's more creative-based, so hopefully some kind of crafts and things like that. As we get to meet them, we'll get to know more of what they like. And we're literally just doing this outside on the estate. We haven't got a building to go to. So we're just going to be out on the estate, meeting kids, meeting youth, and interacting with them. And we're hoping to start sports one too in June. And then we're also hoping to start some kind of prayer group. So in the same way that I spoke about doing that in Ladbroke Grove with the youth, just making it really accessible, really simple, just getting people used to the idea that they can talk to God. We're going to be doing something like that on the estate. We're just starting off by doing some prayer postcards that we're going to put out in people's letterboxes for them to respond to and to ask for prayer for stuff. And it's just more of that idea of just inviting people in and inviting them to be part of the family. And then we hope there will be another kind of evening group, and who knows, we put question marks for other groups because it depends on who we meet and what the needs are and what we see next. But the idea is that through doing these groups, eventually we could have some kind of wider gathering that we can call church for the Grange. And one of the last things I really wanted to talk about actually is that we're in a place now where we're really pushing ahead. We're really starting to feel like we're treading new ground. And often people have said to me, you guys are really doing kind of frontline ministry. And I've kind of thought, what are they on about? We're just living on an estate, just part of a church. It's not really frontline. But actually, in this situation, we are treading new ground. And we are going to a place that's not reached at the moment. And at this moment in time, it really does feel like frontline ministry because we're feeling a lot of kickback from that. So we're getting to a point now where, like I said, in June we're starting these kids and youth groups. We're starting the prayer gathering, hopefully in the summer. After the summer, we're looking at starting an enterprise cafe for the people in Strawberry Vale who've already come to faith to kind of help them to be more employable, but also to disciple those that have come to faith as well. And we also want to start, in September, a local leaders discipleship training program. So one of the things we're really passionate about on the estate is that it's not us running everything, but actually that it's the local people running stuff, and we want to see them, those that come to faith, be the ones that are kind of interacting with the people around them. And just as we're doing all this, one of our team members a couple of months ago had a seizure in the car and suddenly got taken to hospital, and he's been diagnosed with acute pancreatitis. And he's been in hospital for a couple of months now, and it looks like it's going to be like he's in for a long time, and when he does come out, he's not going to be able to do much. And then his partner has also been really struggling because of this with her mental health. And on top of that, we have another person who's been off ill as well. So it feels like half our team's kind of missing. So just at the point where we're thinking, right, we're going to go ahead, we've got all these things in the pipeline ready to go, suddenly it feels like there's just a few of us left kind of sustaining what's already happening rather than moving forward. So, I just wanted to really share honestly, as I said, and I've been on a journey the whole time. I still feel like I'm on a journey, and I feel like today I just wanted to share part of that, and maybe I'll be wrong, about a lot of things, but hopefully you guys just really heard my heart about the estates.